You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
This morning we begin a new series titled Babylon, where we together over the next few weeks are going to be unpacking the book of Daniel. Now, let me set a bit of context to the person of Daniel. So you've got to understand this morning that Daniel was a Hebrew man who was taken into captivity in the land of Babylon and faced the pressures of society to conform to that culture. He was, in other words, a man who was familiar with change, who knew what it was to live under the pressures of an anti-God system, society, and culture. Yet in view and in spite of all of this, he was a man who chose to live for God in a place and where he faced all types of adversity. Now, this morning, I need you to know that you're given a freedom to choose. You're given the freedom to choose how you respond in seasons and times and change. In fact, this morning, I have three quick thoughts on what it was that Daniel committed to in his season and his time of change. When everything around him was coming down, when he was in a place of captivity, what was it that Daniel chose in that season? So I want to encourage you firstly this morning, church, you ought to choose your convictions. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, choose your convictions. See, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, I love this. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. See, most of culture in that society were forcing him to go into these ungodly practices. Like all of the captives of Babylon, where they brought people back from that conquered land, Daniel was re-educated. Now, this process of re-education was designed to break any mental resistance and conform his way of thinking to the Babylonian way of thinking and life, which was really a self-centered worldview. See, the captors were also offered idols. Come serve this God, for this God is better than your God. Look where your God's left you. Look how he's brought you into this place of captivity. Here's an idol. I offer it to you. You know, they were offered the best career opportunities and the finest cuisines in the known world. And the new arrivals were told that the sky is the limit. As long as they adopted the Babylonian worldview, they were renamed as a way of taking away their identity and giving them, removing their past of all their history. But see, while the world was telling Daniel to go one way, come on somebody, Daniel made a stand for God. In fact, I want to encourage you this morning, there's three areas that times of change often confront, where if we don't have a conviction on it, we'll conform to whatever comes our way. Three areas: what you believe, who you are, what you do. Let me say that again. What you believe, who you are, and what you do. Because you got to understand this morning, you need to know today that what you believe will always inform who you are, and who you are will always conform and inform what you do. So you need to stand firm on a conviction in each of these areas, knowing and expecting that society and culture will try to convince you otherwise. It'll try to convince you what to believe, because again, culture knows and the enemy knows that what you believe will conform who you are, and who you are will always inform what you do. Know when the most devastating part of our parenting was when Alia was 4 years old and she came home one day. There were tears in her eyes and you could see that she was at the breaking point. And she looked at us and she said, Mum, Dad, this was after school. She said, Mum, Dad, I'm ugly. And you know how much our world was wrecked in that moment. Because see, you got to understand that you can imagine the devastation that we felt. Those words crippling and absolutely breaking our hearts. See, in this moment, what we realized was she was believing a lie which was given to her by the world that was now affecting who she was, and ultimately, it'll affect what she does. And I felt God's heart on this, because how much must it break our God's heart when his children define and conform themselves to the standards and the patterns of this world? No, Romans chapter 12, I love this, verse 2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, understand that when the scripture is conveying its use of this word world, what it's referring to is things that are not of God. What it's referring to is its philosophies and perspectives that run throughout culture that are simply counter to God's kingdom. See, in our society, we hear this often. People say, live your truth. Now, they actually mean live your truth. They just mean you can live your truth as long as it's over there in the corner, because as long as your truth doesn't touch my truth and it doesn't challenge my truth, then we'll be fine. But therein lies the problem. Because, friend, two of us can't have truth if one of those are conflicting to the other idea of truth. See, truth in and of its very nature, if truth is truth, then truth doesn't change. Truth needs to remain truth. So I'm here to remind somebody this morning, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, in an age, in a culture that seems to be trying to change the narratives on identity, on purpose, on success, on love, on identity, friends, you need to know today that God's word never changes. God's standards never change. God's person, his character, his nature, they never change. You need to know today, friend, that he's consistent. Friend, he's unchanging. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. He is forever the same yesterday. Come on, somebody, today and forever. So I'm here to encourage you in your conviction today. Don't let the things of this world corrupt your view of God's word. Let me say that again, because that preached better than you responded. You know me already, church. Don't let the things of this world corrupt your view of God's word. Yeah, you can clap for that. Thank you, Lord. See, I'm here to encourage you, friend. Know what you believe and why you believe it. Know who you are this morning and why God says that about you. Know what to do and how Christ himself modeled and demonstrated it. Husbands, your first conviction this morning, happy wife, happy life. See, choose your convictions. Choose not to fight that fight. Choose your convictions, because again, this morning you need to know what you believe will always inform who you are, and who you are will always conform what you do. Second thought this morning is this. Friend, Daniel's example encourages all of us this morning, in a world that is changing, in a society that is counter to God, friend, to choose your community. In other words, get you some good mates. You know, me and Steph, we were sitting at Aaliyah Jane's sixth birthday, my daughter's sixth birthday, and I looked around the room at all these little things running around, all her friends, and I looked at Steph and I go, this is it, isn't it? And she goes, what do you mean? I said, this is us for the next 21 years. And I realized in that moment, Caitlin, get you some good mates. See, Daniel 1 verse 11 tells us this about him. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Now, you need to read this scripture over and over again. See, when I read this verse, I thought, man, these three men, they completely have Daniel's back. Come hell or high water, they're there for him. Now, as I read this, I realized that what Daniel was basically doing was Daniel was bringing his friends and expecting them to meet the same fate and looming death that the actions of standing for God in a completely refusing society would land them in. You know, most people would have hightailed it out of there faster than you could say run. But Daniel's community, these God-honoring friends, these relationships, these people who carried the same values, they held the same convictions, and who stood for the same beliefs, they were with Daniel all the way. Can I ask you this morning, church, are you surrounded by people, friendships, and relationships that are helping you to live a life that honors God? Because I love this. Daniel 2 verse 17 to 19 says this. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of all heaven. See, not only were these men willing to stand for Daniel publicly, they were willing to do the work privately. They were willing to support Daniel, not only in action, but in their thoughts, in their prayers, and in their times with God, believing that God would answer the needs that Daniel had. See, it doesn't matter how gifted you are, doesn't matter how successful you are, doesn't matter how ahead on your journey, friend, that you are, you'll never lose your need for others in your life. In fact, I believe God himself will often allow us to face circumstances which are designed to remind you of your need for others. See, in my own life, I've found that God has used the prayers and the counsels of my friends to repeatedly give me the wisdom that I desperately needed in the seasons of which I needed it. You know, these relationships in your life are the ones who will keep you honest. They will make you aware of your blind spots. They'll keep you accountable, and they're invested in the betterment of your growth. In other words, these are the mates who tell you that you've got something stuck in your teeth so that it can avoid your embarrassment later. See, these friendships, this community, are ones who will build you up, not tear you down. They're the ones who are willing to challenge you and comfort you, rally you and rebuke you, cheer for you and correct you, but most importantly, again, tell you you've got something stuck in your teeth. See, just like David had Jonathan, Naomi had Ruth, Elijah had Elisha, Moses had Aaron, Timothy had Paul, the man on the mat had a bunch of mates to lower him down through the roof. Can I ask you today, church, who do you have? Who are those people in your life that you can ring up at 12 a.m. in the morning and tell them the things that you're going through? Do you this morning have reliable, godly friendships that are willing to do everything to bring you closer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? See, Proverbs 27:17, I love this. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Here's my challenge for you this morning. Church, you need community. You need God-fearing and honoring relationships. And today just happens to be small group sign-up Sunday. And Amy's going to be out the door. And I do want to challenge you this morning. You know, if you don't have community, if you don't have those mates, then would you take that step and challenge yourself? Man, I need that community that God designed me for. Sign me up. Come on, let's be a bunch of people who say yes when God's confronting us, calling us, and telling us what to do. Can I encourage you today? Choose your community. Final thought is this, if the keys could join me. As church, in times of change, just like Daniel, regardless of the things which are happening around you, regardless of what society or culture is trying to conform you to, can I encourage every single one of us to choose to follow the call of God? You know, Daniel 1 verse 17, I love this. As for these four young men, God gave them, Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and all dreams. You know, Daniel, at every moment of this story, he could have just thrown in the towel. Daniel could have said, you know what, God, this God stuff, just too hard. In fact, it looks so much easier and rewarding if I just follow the customs and the ideas of the world. Seems like the more that I follow you, God, the more opposition I face in my life. And maybe you're here today and you've said those same things. But can I encourage you today, understand that God had a plan and a purpose for Daniel. God had a calling and a destiny for his life. God had gifts and unique talents and things for Daniel that only Daniel could fulfill. You know, all throughout Daniel, you see the simplicity of obedience to the purpose and the call of God on his life. God was on his side. You know, I'm here to remind you today, friend, you were created on purpose for a purpose. You were created and God has gifted you. God has comforted you. God has called you and commissioned you. God has placed unique gifts and talents in your life. He's placed them in you to bless the people around you. Perhaps you don't have a strong sense of the purpose or the calling of your life this morning. You know, the easiest way to discover the purpose of any invention is to ask the creator of it or to look to the manual. You know, this morning I want to tell you the same is true for your life. The way you discover your life's purpose is to come back to the creator who wants to speak to you. Come back to his word and know what it is that he's called us to do. And be obedient, just as Daniel was, to living out every single thing which the Lord has called you to do. In fact, I want to invite you this morning. Church, if you've never done Growth Track, Growth Track is a course which starts next week. And you know, over the course of 3 weeks, you begin to discover the unique gifts and purposes on your life and how you can begin to make a difference in this world. I want to invite you on that journey. You know, Jesus himself says this, it's not in your notes, John chapter 5, verse 19. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself except what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does also in like manner. I want to encourage you, put your name there. Most assuredly, I say to you, Kaylin can do nothing of himself. Mike can do nothing of himself. No, Scott can do nothing of himself except what he sees the Father do. For whatever the Father does, the Son does also. You know, the greatest purpose and call on your life is to know him, to hear him, and to be obedient to walk out what he says. The most fulfilling thing that you and I could ever do in our life is to love him and to live like him. Simple obedience, faith and obedience. Now, it might not look like major things. It might not look like ministering to crowds, but it might start by ministering in your own home. It might not look like masses or hordes of wealth, but it might just look like the simple stewardship of what you really have right now. Can I ask you today, what are the things in your life, the little things which God has trusted to you to steward well? See, Daniel continued his life in simple obedience to what God had entrusted him with. And as his influence grew, God entrusted him with more. You know, I'm a simple boy, came from Huntley, the hood of Huntley, but also came from Bomanga. There it is. It's okay, the cars are safe outside. But you know, simple obedience for me was God lined up incredible work opportunities, a career pathway for me in Huntley, substantial position, great friends, good salary. But God was speaking to my heart. He was stirring me. Kaylin, leave this. Pack up, head to Auckland, go to ELC. So simple obedience, simple faith in God, hearing him and being obedient to walk in his ways, I did that. You know, as hard as it was going to be, I knew it would be harder for me to live outside of the call and the purpose that God had for me and was upon my life. ELC was incredible. You know, I went through a lot of healing. I went through a lot of heart change. It was at ELC that I met Steph. For 4 months, we were friends and we started dating. 2 months later, we were engaged. 4 months later, we were married. But you know, through ELC, God was working in those areas of my life. You know, God told me, Kaylin, be a children's pastor. And I said, Lord, you must be thinking that I'm some type of crazy or I'm definitely called. I decided I was called. So I said, yeah, God, I'll do it. I'll do it because you said it and I'm obedient to follow and trust and have faith that that which you called me to do, you'll be with me through the whole thing. And so God opened up amazing opportunities to help families that I didn't recognize were beyond these children that I got to help. Now, my whole life, God made me an accidental youth pastor, the grumpiest youth pastor of our movement. You know, I didn't want to be, but God was speaking so simply. I had faith, I loved him, and therefore I lived for him. Can I ask you today, what is God at this moment calling you to do? What steps of faith is he asking you to take? See, I want to encourage every single person in this room. Where God calls you, God will keep you. I want to say that again because I felt that was significant for some people in this room. Where God calls you, God will keep you. Where he leads you, he will feed you. Where he guides you, he'll provide for you. Where God calls you, God will keep you. See, you and I have a choice this morning, church. In times and seasons of change, to be like Daniel and make some choices. Choose your conviction, choose your community, and choose this morning to follow the call of God on your life. I'm going to pray this morning. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes? God, I thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you for this family. And God, this morning I pray that, God, we would trust and we would choose to believe what you call us to believe. God, this morning I pray that you would conform us in more and more into the likeness and image of your Son, Jesus. And God, I pray that as we look to him as our example, we would continue to do that which you've called us to do. God, I pray this morning, Lord, I thank you for this community. I thank you for the great encouragement and inspiration represented in this house. But God, I pray for those who don't have good mates. I pray for those who don't yet have community. May they take that step this morning, oh God, to say yes to that which you've called them to. And Lord, this morning, oh God, above all, we choose to trust you and we choose to follow you. We choose to thank you, God, for the call of God on each and every single one of our lives to the glory of your name. Still with every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, church, this morning, I need you to know you were created on purpose for a purpose. You were created this morning for life and life in abundance. You were created this morning for relationship with God. But the reason many of us don't experience those things is because of this word called sin. Sin is this. It's to miss the mark, to choose our ways above God's ways. And in fact, the Bible says that when we chose the way of sin, we were led and completely in death. But God, our gracious and heavenly Father, he didn't want to leave you in that place of death. So he sent his son, Jesus, who lived holy and blamelessly, yet went to a cross to take upon himself the death that you and I deserved. In fact, the Bible says if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we can have forgiveness of our past, a new hope of eternity with him, and a new life today. And so I want to invite you this morning, friend, maybe you don't know God, maybe you once knew him, but you know this morning your life is far from him. I want to give you this opportunity to pray this prayer with me. This prayer doesn't save you, Jesus saves you. But this prayer is about putting your trust and your faith in him. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count down from three, and if that's you, would you mind raising your hand? Three, God loves you. He has a design, a call, and a purpose for your life. Two, he's standing at the door of your heart saying, would you let me in? One, if that's you this morning, would you mind lifting your hand nice and high so I know who it is that I'm praying for? Awesome. See anyone else who's saying, man, I need to trust Jesus. I need to call him my Lord and my Savior. Awesome. Well, church, would you mind just repeating this prayer after me? Again, if you're making this decision, can you pray this from the bottom of your heart? We're going to say it together to make you feel comfortable this morning. Everyone say, dear Lord Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Today, I turn from sin and turn to you. I make you the Lord of my life. Thanks to you, today's a new day, and I'm set free in Jesus' name. And everyone said, come on, church, can we celebrate and thank God for every decision that was made for him this morning?
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.